The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
There is a huge problem spreading across Europe, Spain in particular. And if you ride a bus there in the capital of Spain, in Madrid, this is becoming huge.
I mean, it's
up there on that level with terrorism. And there is a group. It's Mujeres en Lucha. Lucha.
Mujeres en Lucha.
That's milk, right?
No. That's what I thought, too. When
that
I thought,
is not
is,
milk. It's what? Fight.
It's fight.
Yeah.
Fighting Women fighting is women. The name of this this group that has
milk.
Really come to the forefront in the fight against what is happening there. I mean, this trend, Chris, you've seen it. You know how disturbing
yes.
this is.
Yes. If I think what I think, yes. It
girl
is
fights?
Really disturbing.
It's it's bad. It's happening on buses.
Trains.
Apparently, maybe even in automobiles.
What? Really?
Yeah. It's a very common practice, according to a petition. So much so that they have finally gotten the bus companies to put up signs in the buses.
Is it the groping issue? Are women getting groped?
No. It's no. It's
kind of like in
that's
hear
still
about
okay.
In Japan,
yeah. That's still okay.
Yeah,
that's still okay.
That's all right.
Okay. Yeah, that's still okay.
It's still okay to grope.
Okay.
What you cannot do, and what they have put up signage to prevent or to discourage rather, is the practice of manspreading.
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 And what is manspreading?
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, oh, so am I.
Yeah.
You are spreading way too wide.
I like manspreading.
I like manspreading,
too. It's almost
impossible
not to manspread.
Exactly.
Because most men carry things.
Right.
And, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that women
wallets.
Don't.
They got big
right.
wallets.
Big
yes.
wallets. Big,
you, other things.
You cell phones.
That
cell
women
phones,
don't.
Yes. Pockets.
You,
yep.
you,
and
it's hard
have,
to,
whoa,
you know.
It's what?
Would, it's difficult.
Difficult. Well,
yeah, let's
yes,
choose our verbiage carefully this morning on this, especially. We don't want to offend anyone, especially the Mujeres
lucha, ¿qué?
Sí.
The milk fighters?
The milk fighters. We do not want to offend or in any way disparage them with our language. It is a very common practice, according to, this, to these women. It's not difficult to see women with their legs closed and very uncomfortable because there's a man beside them who's invading their space with their legs, according to this petition.
According to Mujeres Luchadores.
Them, yes. The group said women were taught to sit with their legs together, whereas men are ingrained with the idea of territorial hierarchy, as if the space belongs to them.
Well, I was always told that a lady should always keep her legs closed.
Because? Yes.
Because that means she's a proper lady.
Mm-hmm.
And if
exactly.
she doesn't, then she's
a slut.
Yeah.
She's a lady of the night.
Those again, are, I like the way we've chosen our verbiage
lady
carefully
of the night.
This morning. A lady of the night. Right. Now, this reminds me, I think it was Little House on the Prairie. that there was an episode where they some for whatever reason a guy was dressed as a girl. He had hiding water.
Well, you know, that's a right. Tuesday here around
that's
the place.
That's true. But so one of the ways that they found out that it was a guy and not a girl was that they threw a ball to him. So he's sitting there with the, you know, his legs are slightly apart. With throw the ball, he boom, closes his legs. Because that's what a guy will instinctively do if you throw something to him. Close his legs.
Really?
Yes. A woman, for whatever reason, they will actually open their legs and like for the
so
and
what, they want to
the dress
catch
on.
It in between their
they
legs.
They would catch it. They would catch the ball.
So well,
I still remember
this.
This is from the 70s.
Sure,
absolutely.
So you throw something at a guy, right. He instantly closes
his legs.
You throw something at a woman, she instantly opens her legs.
Her legs. Yes.
Wow, that would have made high school and college so much easier for me when I was trying to court certain ladies.
These are the rules.
If I would have known that.
If you knew them what you know now, how much different would life be?
Oh, wow. Much easier.
Yeah. A whole lot easier.
You tell your daughter to close her legs?
Well, she's, three.
When she's sitting down?
I don't know if you noticed,
2 or 3 year olds are not exactly, right. aware of these things. My daughter will do like.
No, but, you know, I've seen fathers would be like, hey, honey, close your legs.
Right. I will, but not yet. I don't think she gets it yet, but I will. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I definitely will at that
you
point.
Tell your wife, because.
I don't need to tell my wife.
She closes her legs.
She closes her legs, yes.
When a person opens their legs so wide that it disturbs others, this is rude, said Alvaro Gomez Jordana Moya.
How wide is too wide?
I guess it
depends on the distance.
Right.
Because there's some days where I'm like this.
Right. Yes. And Chris is sitting with his legs in a natural position.
Yeah. And then there's some days where like I don't need to be so wide.
Right.
Well, it depends on the temperature.
I was going to say if it's a hot day, if it's around Dallas it's been like 90 degrees.
Oh, it's been great.
It's been
I looked up this whole week it's going to be like 95.
Yeah. So there's probably a little bit more man spreading going on in Dallas.
Don't take the dart.
I would highly recommend you don't take the dart if you are offended by man spreading, especially in Dallas. This woman also said it's uncomfortable having to ask someone, please, can you close your legs?
Okay, if you get that question, what is your reaction?
That's more of a request than a question.
I mean, if you get that request,
can you close your legs?
What is your reaction?
I'll close my legs.
Exactly. Are you
offended?
Oh, my God!
How dare you speak to me, woman? Get back in the corner where your place belongs.
Why are you walking next to me and not 10 feet behind me?
It's somebody like, and usually, quote me if I'm wrong, I never have to done any public transportation in the last couple months. But you should.
Ever since that restraining order. right.
Hang out with Jeffy way too long.
Yeah.
If somebody sits next to you, don't you automatically close your legs? If you're wide?
If you are at all aware of your surroundings, if you're at all aware of people around you, yeah. I mean, you try to stay in your, most people, I'd say, would try to stay in their own space.
And by the way, it's really uncomfortable not to manspread. Some of us are being blessed.
Yeah, it absolutely can
some
be.
Some of us need to be a little
bit
more.
Some people are blessed.
It is physiology is what it all boils down to.
I think women need an education in male...
anatomy?
Are
you suggesting mansplaining?
No, anatomy. I suggest explaining mansplaining.
Mansplaining.
I think they need... I don't think they realize... Mm-hmm. Like what we had to deal with down there sometimes.
Should we give them like an aid to help them?
I think, maybe some visual aids.
Perhaps a small bag. You could get them a grocery bag.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe put, I don't know, oranges, fruit.
I'll put a kiwi in.
They don't get it because everything, everything in their area is inside. And everything in our area is outside.
Right. Which I think puts us at a distinct disadvantage.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, we're actually more at risk of injury.
Yes.
So this would actually technically be a form of self-preservation and protection.
Exactly. They don't realize that when General Johnson and his buddies are not comfortable, we are not comfortable. And they need to do, that's where it comes in first. You know, the general has to be comfortable.
Exactly.
So it's almost a reaction. It's almost like blinking or breathing.
Right.
It's just
yes.
You just sit and you got to just make sure that the general's placed properly.
If the general is not comfortable, as they used to say, at the academy, exactly. then no one's comfortable.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
They don't get that.
Can you imagine the conversation of one of the mujeres luchadores with her husband?
Yes, I can. It would start with,
you have no idea what I just saw at the bus. Un hombre tenía las patas bien abiertas.
Exactly.
I, how many times have I said that just this morning?
No, right?
It's just, Chris Krakowski on Twitter just said, because women catch stuff on their skirt and guys have to close their legs to catch. Saw this on Tarzan cartoon. It's, I mean, that's how old the information is. You have to understand physiology to understand the problem that is now sweeping Europe and the fighting milk people.
Forget about terrorism that is trying to blow you up and cut your head off. Let's focus on those evil men that are spreading their legs way too wide.
The important stuff. And by the way, this is according to the bus companies, they say that this is essentially the same thing as telling people not to eat or drink on a bus.
How's that working out for you?
Yeah, exactly. And the punishment for failing to follow this rule.
Oh, there's a punishment?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. There is no punishment.
I was waiting for, you can't ride the bus for a week.
You're going to take your
bus
pass.
Then if you do it again, you can't ride it for a month.
No.
You do it a third time, you're banned for life.
You're more banned from the bus.
More than 600 people signed the petition.
Whoa.
And they, by the way, if you want to find it on Twitter, it's a Madrid Sin Manspreading. Hashtag Madrid Sin, as in without. Manspreading.
I only have one word for the, what are they called? Lucha what?
Mujeres luchadores.
For the mujeres luchadores.
That toy has become a part of the show.
Very thank
handy.
You, Mexico. No, that was San Antonio.
That was San Antonio.
That was San Antonio.
The other Mexico.
Right, yes. The other Mexico. By the way, Doc's not here today, so we are.
Oh, you forgot to say that at the beginning?
Yeah. It's all right. No one's listening anyway.
Doc's off being lazy.
All 18 listeners.
Yeah.
No, that's when Doc's here. It's 13 when he isn't. 13.
That's when Roku works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of that.
We're down to three.
Shout out to our Brazilian audience. Did you know that we have a Brazilian audience?
No, I did not know.
How many is a Brazilian? That's a lot. That's an old George Bush joke, by the way.
Thank you.
So big shout out. Sorry, but I forgot your name. My phone is on the other side of the studio.
Brazil listener number
one.
One.
Yes.
1.6.
Big 1. Shout 6. Out. And he wanted me to give him a hug. So here is a
virtual hug.
I'm hugging the mic.
Oh, yes. And we'll talk about that, the whole guys hugging coming up.
Oh, we will.
Yes,
because we just got outed by the UK.
Yeah.
We did?
Oh, no. Wait until you hear this. We'll get that in just a second. By the way, if you want to tweet us, use the daily hashtag, What I Learned Today, at the Blaze Brad, at Cal79, at Real Chris Cruz, and at Doc Thompson Show, of course. Speaking, though, real quickly before we take a break, I wanted to get to something that did actually have a consequence. The Montana Republican member, Greg Gianforte, the guy who body slammed
yes.
body slammed the reporter from, what was it, the Guardian,
yes.
Ben Jacobs, who, if you ask me, is kind of a sissy.
Yes.
He can handle a body slam.
You body slammed me and broke my glasses.
And you see that he donated the glasses to a museum? Yeah,
the museum, which now, by the way.
Which museum would take
the museum in D.C.? Yeah.
Yes.
Which now pops up on my stupid computer
because you donated.
Because I look. You know what else keeps popping up on my stupid. Now, chicken pluckers.
Chicken pluckers?
Ever since we looked at.
Episcopal strikes again.
Now I get chicken plucker ads from Google.
So what's the update with the Montana?
So anyway, so Gianforte knocks this guy down. There's he initially said he didn't do it. Then he came out and said he did do it, and he apologized. And he said last night I made a mistake.
And
blah, blah, blah. He did get elected to Congress, which is a good. There's just something so appropriate about that.
They need
that.
Some more wrestlers.
Yeah. He pleaded guilty. I guess it was this week.
It was yesterday.
Is today only Tuesday?
Yes.
Holy
Still got four more days, three more days.
That's what happens when you come back from vacation.
I'm exhausted. Doc, can you come back early? So yesterday he pleaded guilty to one count of misdemeanor assault, which according to Montana law carries a maximum sentence of up to 6 months in jail and a fine of up to $500. The judge, though, Rick West, ordered him to complete 40 hours of community service. He has to pay a $300 fine, $85 court fee, and he has to take 20 hours of an anger management class.
Good. We're done.
Does his job count as community service since he's a public servant?
No, he has to be on the side of the street.
He's got to go clean up garbage. Yeah, he's got to go.
There are going to be pictures of that, don't you know? An apt place for someone in Congress. So there is a little justice in the world. Not much, but a little. All right, so we'll talk bromance and a whole lot more coming up. We'll take a break right now. This is The Morning Blaze.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network!
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hopefully he's somewhere not in jail. It's the Blaze, Brad, at Cal 79, the real Chris Cruz.
Has anybody checked in on him? Because I know he's been tweeting.
See, I'm trying not to bother him.
Yeah, or have you been tweeting?
No, he's
through
been
him.
No, I never know if it's
tweeting.
You or him or
who's... I never tweet for him.
Jeez.
Okay.
You people are...
What are you guys talking about?
Do you ever sleep?
I do sleep.
When?
Between 12 and 2.
2 hours a night?
Yeah. No, that's in the afternoon.
Oh.
Yeah.
In the afternoon.
I drink
water. We were talking
water.
About that before you got here, the fact that this is such a weird time to be up because I got about 4 hours, 5 hours sleep last night.
That's what I about average. Yeah, we were saying how you average like five. I average about four. It's
what time you guys go to sleep?
Well, that's not close to 10.
10.
Usually around 11 for me. I try to. No matter how hard I try, she's lately just been a pain in the ass. I try to get her to bed at like 8, 9 o'clock, but lately it's like 10, 11. She just won't go to sleep.
Is she?
That's
just
why
crying,
I don't go to sleep. No, she's just bouncing off the walls and doesn't want to go to sleep.
Stop giving her coffee.
I don't give her. I don't give her coffee. I don't give her candy.
Have you given her black water?
I have not given her black water. No,
it's really what? Good.
The earth
black
water.
Have you tried it? Try some black water.
Blackwater full.
I became a member.
You did? You signed
yeah,
up?
Yeah, I signed up.
This is from last week. We had, what was his name? Casey?
CJ.
CJ, he's the CEO of
Earthwater.
Earthwater. The
it's water, just
water. With, it's like got minerals and Brad looks
it tastes
so confused.
Like water. It tastes like water.
Exactly. It's black. it's confusing. It's black. It's literally black water. And you think it's going to taste like something else, but it tastes like just like water.
You know what I've been doing with this?
Because it's got the minerals from the earth.
I've been doing experiments with this water. I've cooked ramen.
Oh, please tell me not with that particular bottle
no.
that I just drank from.
I've been doing. I cooked ramen noodles.
Right.
You cooked ramen noodles with the black water.
I cooked rice with the brown water.
And what, black water, not brown
black water. Sorry. And then I
brown water is something different. You don't want any brown. Water. Stay away from the brown water, my friend.
Why does it say Fulham on it?
Fulham. That's the name of the type of minerals they
yes.
put in.
Yes.
Okay.
It's fulvic something.
Humic alkaline hydration. Sorry, CJ. We're
so
butchering this whole
so
thing.
So it's got to be good for you because you can't yes. pronounce it?
Yes.
It's got special minerals from the earth that
you
can only
I
get
did?
In like certain parts or something.
I combine APR coffee and the black water.
Uh-huh.
It was delicious.
Really? Did you taste the difference between
yes, you
normal
can taste,
water and
yeah.
black water?
On the coffee, yes.
Really? It brings out the... coffee-ness?
Well, the only thing about it is that you have to clean the machine, the coffee machine much more.
Because
you got all the minerals.
Black.
No, because you got the minerals. You got all that other
What's turning the water black, though?
The
I
minerals.
Listen to the interview.
The
You know, I will tweet out a link to CJ.
Where? Okay, so if you go up into a mountain stream somewhere.
Fulvic humic alkaline hydration. It's these specific minerals that they pull from the earth. That's what makes it black.
Okay. Why is that? You don't see that in nature anywhere. I mean, you go to the mountains, you presumably you see
water. Oh, no, they,
you
add, know, water. They add this stuff to it. Yeah, it's definitely not natural the way, this is not how water comes out of the ground. Let's put it that way.
Are you sure?
Yes. Well, when I see black water in like a puddle on the ground, I try not to drink it. That's
well,
my first.
Well, actually, now, that is a lie. I seen you on commercial drinking
true.
Water that, with from the puddles.
With the life. Yeah, you're right.
Wow. Don't give me that.
You're absolutely right. We
I
did.
Always wondered if that straw really works.
It did. That was the weirdest thing. We're the life straw. Where is that? Is that still running?
I don't think so. I don't think
it was. Yeah, we went over to a puddle.
But there's so many of them around in the studios.
Underneath the freeway, there's this puddle of nasty brown water. We actually drank from it.
You actually
and
did.
It was and you, it tasted like water. And I mean, when you pulled it,
it's so weird because how can water be filtered that fast?
That's a good question, but I'm still here, so I mean, okay.
Have you gotten checked?
I've got an extra growth, which leads to my man spreading.
Yes.
It's just, you know, when you start
you
drinking out of puddles.
Elephantitis of the...
Right. Of my thighs. It's been horrible. So if I go to Madrid, I'd have to be careful.
Yes.
We'll get to some of your tweets coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We have to take a short break. And the FCC called. Yeah, they want our license too.
Are we good with them?
This is,
we had them on the show a couple
I think
months ago.
They should be okay. It's a small fine. We'll get past it. This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
TMB listener tweeted at the Blaze Brad, pretty sure throw something to guy dressed as girl trick was in Tom Sawyer or Huck Finn 2. That's where I remember seeing it.
Oh, okay.
So we were talking earlier about the man spreading epidemic sweeping Spain. Sweeping.
You know, when I was up in New York working, you know, you ride the subways everywhere in New York, and women always complained about that. Like, this guy next to me was manspreading, and I just couldn't even get it. I was like, this is way of life, ladies.
Yeah. It's, you know, some things you just have to live with. Stuart says,
go with it, baby. Go with it.
Doc Thompson's show from vacation and find his show is canceled due to a long list of FCC violations.
It wouldn't be the first time he came from vacation and got fired.
Yep, that's true. You know what they say? You're in radio, you are no one until you've been fired three times.
Yeah. Oh, they say working hard enough if you haven't been fired at least three times.
Well, Doc's been fired more than three times.
Yeah. See, well, he's somebody.
Yep.
So he confirms what DMV saddle tramp.
Big Daddy tweeted hashtag what I learned today. If you can't pronounce it, it's good for you. Then real Chris Cruz must be the healthiest man around.
I am.
And someone else, who was it that said they had to be bilingual to listen this morning? Which is absolutely true because,
you guys forgot. There's a new update to the app. There's a Spanish option. You have to turn that off. Because
that's right. That's right.
Yeah,
I forgot.
You open the app and if you turn on the Spanish option, va a sonar así porque estamos hablando español.
Right.
Y tienes que tocarlo otra vez. So toca, sí. Then it confirms, and then it turns into English.
Más música y español.
Sí, claro.
¿Dónde está el baño? En la cocina. See? It's dumb. Apparently, I need to be a bilingual listener to enjoy TMB this week. It's actually, and as Chris said, you have to switch the switch. It's right next to the switch that turns the holograms on and off.
The hologram, you use it on the weekends.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So if you can find those two switches, you will be just
fine. You'll be just fine, and you'll hear us loud and clear.
Speaking of just fine, there's a new study that's been published in Sex Roles, a journal of research, and it claims that straight men in bromances, not only do they make out, but they cuddle with each other, much like gay men do.
Yeah, because that's because they're gay men. Those aren't straight men.
Right. Well, this is according to this is a gay men's magazine called Attitude. They wrote about the study.
Oh yeah, I'm very well known with that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You have a subscription, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I celebrate their entire catalog.
Not only do I get it in paper form, I also get it digitally. Oh. I mean, that way I
make sure you have hard copies.
Exactly. Yes. Several of them. Researchers asked a series of questions to a handful of British undergrads who identified as heterosexual, and the aim was to uncover their hidden proclivities.
I mean, activities.
Or gayness, okay. Either way. Sorry. Either way. Sorry. 30 young men answered the questions. They said they engaged in non-sexual physical intimacy, including kissing, cuddling, and spooning their best bros.
This is in the UK?
This is in the UK.
Well, remind me never to make any friends in the UK.
No.
Have you been in a bromance? Anybody here?
Well, I mean, what do you
define?
I don't know what a bromance is.
A bromance, in my idea, is a relationship with another male where it's basically everything but sex. Everything you have
like
with a woman,
hands?
Everything you have with a woman, minus sex and intimacy. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Intimacy with a woman? Does that involve like talking and stuff and sharing your inner feelings? That's disgusting.
In a guy way. You don't like, okay, you're not right. Like, how I feel. It's always like, oh dude, you know, this right. Chick is driving me crazy. Or
okay. Right, so that's. So,
have you seen any, does this rash look normal to you?
Does this appear infected? they say that the romantic friends is somebody who is really there for you all the time and will always be there to back you up if you need it.
Yeah, that's like your boys, you know, your buddies.
That's good. I mean, it's always good to have friends like that.
I've got a, you know, buddies that I know I can rely on, but I'm not going to go make out with them.
So you have a bromance?
I guess, yeah, I guess.
Because do you do this?
No, I do not do that with my buddies, and
there's just two guys. I mean,
naked guys.
We don't know that they're naked. They're not wearing shirts.
They're not wearing shirts, but you can't see the rest of them because
we're not wearing shirts right now.
Yes, yes, but we're wearing pants. That's rule number one in the studio. You may take off your shirt, but you can't take off your pants.
Ever since that incident with Jeffy, yes. I mean, that has been the rule. But before that, it wasn't the rule.
But in this photo, there's two guys. One is on the back of the other. They're both in bed together. They're both shirtless. And then the sheets are covering the lower half.
I mean, that could be a couch. That could be a nice white couch.
That's a bed with sheets.
That could be a blanket.
This is the morning after these two guys just had romper room sex.
We don't know this. You know what? They look a lot like those could be two brothers.
Yes. Chris, you need
they
to
could
to,
be two brothers. It's like, I've
never done that with my brother. I'm sorry.
I've done that with my brother.
All right, then you have a very odd relationship.
I mean, what if one of them had not seen the other one? They hadn't seen each other in like 3 years.
Yeah. If I hadn't seen my brother in 3 years,
right.
And he saw me, and he'd say, first thing he'd say is, why aren't you wearing a shirt? That would be the first question.
Okay.
Second question would be, get off me.
Okay.
That's more of a request.
Question, just a statement. Yeah, I'm Chris Cruz grammar here.
Right.
I've become everything in this damn show.
You're infectious sometimes. Like, you're that itch that won't go away. But if he saw me without a shirt after 3 years, he'd say, get off my back, put a shirt on.
Pour some black water on him. But, I mean, so they could be
just... Can you tweet this picture out?
They could. So they are. I mean, they're not doing anything of a sexual nature.
They seem really happy.
Yes, they seem really very happy.
Very happy. They're very happy.
I would like to have that kind of relationship.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be that happy?
I don't want to be that
happy.
Why
don't you? I mean, there's nothing wrong with being that happy. The look on their faces is just, I mean, it's priceless.
And I got to say, they're pretty cute boys.
I mean, yes, if I tended to swing that way, I mean, that yes, I would
this
say,
is,
yeah,
those this would be my type.
Right.
They're not ugly men.
No, they're not ugly men. And
which
I mean,
one is better looking?
Let's be honest. I mean, we can all tell what attractive men are and what attractive women
are. The one on the bottom.
The one the bottom?
Well, yeah. He's not technically on the bottom. He's more in front.
Okay, yeah, so the one in the front is right, better
the one
looking.
In the front.
The one being piggybacked.
He looks a little younger than the guy. The guy in the back actually favors George Clooney just a smidge.
He does. I'll give you that. Yeah.
With darker hair.
You know what I'm loving? I haven't tweeted the picture. everybody must be freaking out. All eight listeners must be freaking out. I want to see this picture.
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, here's the thing.
Should we just, me and Cal, recreate this picture
and then tweet it out?
We're not That's not a bad idea.
I think that would work. Because we're already shirtless.
Right.
No, we're not going to do that.
Well, and you know, that would actually eliminate any chance of copyright infringement.
Okay.
Because we would actually technically own the picture.
Exactly. You're right. I think we have to recreate this picture.
There's no way I'm putting a picture like that out on the internet.
Not even for example?
No. Dude, Brad can do it, though. Brad seems a lot more
willing. I'm so much older that, you know.
We have to match the age. Because he looks like maybe 7 years older than the young guy.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. How old are you?
Not that much older. 38.
Okay. And I'm 27. So we've got a good gap. And that's 11 about years. The good gap right there.
So technically, you're young enough to be my son. So you could say. You
know. See, and they don't look like father and son.
No, they don't. They don't really. No. I mean,
they look more like brothers.
If this were father and son, we'd have to call social services on these guys.
I think so.
Yeah,
Most likely. But I mean, let's just try. You just call me daddy. I'm just saying.
Daddy.
See.
I'd like to point out that this would never go this way if Doc was here.
Well, I don't know. You don't know that. You don't know that.
He'd ask Chris to call him daddy. Although
we were talking about Doc, ages, and I'm older, and that's
actually, you know what, I would like to recreate this picture with Doc.
That's what I was gonna say. Chris and Doc are much more likely to recreate this picture than
I think we can.
Yeah,
he's always shirtless around the studios too.
I do want
to
mention
been spoken that, to about that.
Blaze Keith just tweeted out this bromance discussion is making for a very uncomfortable workplace environment.
Yes.
Hashtag HR.
Yes. Why? What, we can't talk about our feelings?
That's just it. See, this is what happens when men try to talk about their feelings.
And we get...
We're stereotyped immediately as some sort of either homophobe or homosexual.
You know what? I don't like that.
Are you saying... I'm very uncomfortable. If men can get topless and hug each other and not be gay?
I think that we probably should. We'll call HR and we'll get back to this. We'll take a little break. This is The Morning Blaze.
Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network. With Doc Thompson.
I have not had this much fun this early in the morning in so long.
Since you hugged another man?
Yeah.
You haven't had this much fun since you hugged another man.
Exactly. There are a lot of tweets coming. And Kool-Aid with a C said, sometimes it's better to just move on.
That's what would have happened if Doc would have been here. He would have moved on a long time ago.
Yeah, but I just can't.
We can't move on.
Romance equals homosexual friend zone. There's nothing wrong. I mean, Slip Shift said, I'm so creeped out right now.
Sheldon Kwiatkowski tweeted, once General Johnson and his attachés touch another dude, it's gone beyond the bromance. I agree with you.
Oh, okay. And where's the where's the tweet about the trampoline park that you and Doc went to?
You're right.
By the way, Doc's on vacation.
Yeah.
But I think he's in his car on his way back right now.
Jason tweeted, scroll through the pictures from the trampoline incident. You already have the shot you need.
He's right about that. You guys were very happy at the trampoline.
We were very happy.
And you know what? You brought up a good point. The guys in this picture that you just tweeted.
I am so jealous.
They're happy.
They're so damn happy.
There is nothing wrong with, as a matter of fact, it is admirable to be that happy.
I don't want to be that happy.
I would love to be this
they
happy.
They look energetic. They look happy. They look content. I don't know.
Yeah, go to the Real Chris Cruz for
look
that
at
picture.
This picture. Yes. No Effing Way tweeted, men who like to touch and fondle each other are either gay or British. Which is where the study was done, right?
Our sponsors are so proud, speaking of.
That's a great segue, yes. You know, I was telling my dad was here this weekend. He came to visit me here in Texas. So
nice guy. Met him yesterday.
Yes. He liked you very much. He's like, I like that last guy, Brad.
Maybe he can come back in. We'll take a shirtless picture together.
My dad is 65. There's no way you're getting him in a picture with that shirt on. But I was just, with the whole weekend, it was a lot of sightseeing. Like, we went to the Dealey Plaza 6th Floor Museum. It was a hot weekend. We all went like a bit of a water park. So I was just exhausted, though. And the only way I got through it is with my dawn to dusk. It's the only way I get through the day now. I'm just, you know, so exhausted. We were talking about how much sleep we get. I average like 4 hours sleep. There's no way I'm getting through the day without crashing. So as long as I take my Dawn to Dusk by Brickhouse Nutrition, it's got its extended release energy supplement, which lasts up to 10 hours, increases energy, improves mood and stimulation, stimulates your brain as well. And it doesn't give you the jitters like those caffeine pills. It's much more natural. It gets me through nice and easy without having to crash at all. I don't know what I do.
You know, one of the things I've done? I save money by going Dawn to Dusk.
How's that?
No more energy drinks.
Oh, yeah, the energy drinks.
And the energy, you go up and down real quick. You never go down on this one.
I never liked the taste of them either. Those, yeah. Monster and the Red Bull and all that stuff. It's just, these are nasty tastes.
Somebody emailed me from the sponsors and said they like how I said, like, if you like to pop some pills, pop some Dawn to Dusk.
If you're going
to
pop pills, pop the Dawn to Dusk.
It's great for you.
It's much better for
you.
New
slogan.
Yeah. And if you go to brickhousedoc.com, and on checkout, use the promo code DOC. You get 15% on your first order.
Perfect.
Which, by the way, I think my first order is on its way.
Your first order is on its way. Yes.
Yep. Brickhousedoc.com. Yep. Use Doc in the promo code and get your 15% off. Brad did it.
Yep. Absolutely. I will let you know how I feel very soon. Let's find out how Jamie feels. She's in Florida right now.
Have she seen Doc in Florida?
Jamie. Have we freaked you out yet?
Hi, guys. You know, Doc's only been gone for 2 days, and y'all three are like a bunch of sprayed roaches.
Sprayed roaches?
I've never heard that term before.
I haven't either.
Well, I'm from the South. You've got to forgive me. I'm from the South. But y'all are crazy to a bunch of sprayed roaches.
I think that's our new slogan.
Yes. If you like sprayed roaches, you'll love the Morning Blaze.
With Brad Stass, Chris Cruz, and Kyle.
Right. Yeah, Doc can, like, he should do middays anyway.
Yeah.
Let's just, he can get up early. He's getting older. You know, he's running.
Jamie, have you seen Doc? Because Doc is in Florida.
No. I haven't seen Doc. But y'all need to leave Cal alone. Y'all picking too hard on Cal, though.
Oh, we haven't picked hard enough.
He deserves it.
He deserves it. He's a Muslim.
I'm the hardest working man here.
No, do kids. Leave him alone. Play nice.
Thank you very much.
All right, sorry.
What brought it off the rails for you? Was it the bromance talk or the man spreading?
I can't take it this morning, boys. I really can't. I'm going to pull me. It's like crazy. Well,
if you find anybody on public transportation man spreading, you make sure that you tell them not to do it and tell them we told you to.
And tell them I belong to Mujeres Luchadores.
Right. The fighting milk ladies.
Fighting milkmaids.
Thanks for calling, Jamie.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We enjoyed having you as a listener for all those years. And, you know, good luck with Howard Stern.
I'm wondering, next time Doc goes away, you think he'll ask you to fill in again?
Oh, yeah.
And you think we'll still have jobs after?
No, I don't think we will, I think they'll ask Brad. I think it's us, not him.
Oh, it's us. Yeah, it's definitely us. All that talk about shirtless pictures.
Let's see. Bronze 3000 just tweeted, not only is bromance just wrong, but just speaking the word is many levels of wrong. And see, that's just wrong not wanting to speak the word.
You know
bromance.
What? There's nothing I stand with the Steve 42. Love is love.
Yes.
Even on the Morning Blaze.
Absolutely.
You know, it's Pride Month, okay? Mm-hmm. So
I'm proud.
I'm proud.
There's nothing wrong.
Of loving you guys.
And I love you guys.
No, there's absolutely something wrong with two men taking a picture with shirts off hugging. There's something wrong there.
Just let me get behind you. Let me get behind you.
We'll get to your headlines coming up next.
Get the picture ready.
Get in the corner.
Get the camera ready.
Get the camera ready. Get away from me.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.
The collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
I swear we'll talk about Trump at some point this morning.
Do we have to?
We don't have to. I just feel you know, if you're going to be on the Blaze Radio Network at some point,
you need to mention Donald Trump. There's a quote of how many times you say Trump in an hour.
Yeah. Glenn requires us to. It's the way it works. Doc's on vacation. However, I think he's seriously reconsidering his choices right now. At the Blaze Brad, at Cal 79, at Real Chris Cruz, at the Blaze Keith, and the tweets are flying. Kool-Aid with a C. Doc Thompson on vacation, and the show has gone way south.
Off the rails.
Didn't know that was possible. Hey, see, I was just taking that as a direction. You got any more over there?
The Morning Blaze has turned into a bunch of pill pushers. Carnivore really fattered on that was TMB list number two.
If you're and who said if you find yourself into in a bromance, blame the pills.
Oh yeah. Where is it?
Well, while he's looking for that one, I got one here already on the Facebook Live.
Yes.
Dustin Kerr says the Morning Blaze with bromance Brad.
I'm so proud. Glenn right now is going, wait a minute, why did we hire?
How are these guys still working here?
Exactly.
Yeah, I nearly did not come into this room to do this segment after all that bromance talk. I was very uncomfortable because, look, it's uncomfortable enough for the listeners out there who have to listen to that talk, but I'm in the unique position where I actually have to come in here and participate with you guys now.
You got to be in the same room with us.
There's one reason that we're all still here. We're cheap. That's it. Let's get your headlines.
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
Seriously, Kirk, we are in delay, right? Because this may be the day that something slips.
Stand by on the dump.
Something slips.
The holy month of Ramadan continues, and we're up to 1,127 souls taken. Yesterday, Pakistan, Nigeria, and Iraq got on the list. So,
and these never make the news. Never make the news.
No, you're never going to hear about them.
Fidget spinners. There's a shortage in Germany of fidget spinners.
Oh my God.
Yeah. How are we going to survive?
Call in the guard.
Terror. Let's worry about the shortage of fidget spinners.
I don't understand them. What am I missing?
They're everywhere.
I'm out of the demo.
Whoever created these things is a genius and rolling in the dough.
And by the way, did you see who was having one yesterday as they were getting off Marine One?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Trump,
Mr. Baron Trump,
Melania Trump. Oh no, it wasn't Melania. It was.
You really
Baron.
Can't stop doing it though. Once you have it in your hand,
you can't
stop doing it.
I just don't. I've tried it, and I'm apparently just not coordinated enough.
Did you get the Batman one? I have the Batman one.
Is that the one that has sharp like razor edges on it?
Yeah,
a batarang.
Because that requires skill, so you don't slice your fingers off.
That's good for.
There's
children.
A lawsuit coming with those. You realize that?
Absolutely.
Germany, if you need to replenish your stock, just head to my house. There's plenty there for you to
There's
take.
There's 15 of them in my house.
Okay. You see this individual?
This
is a young 8-year-old.
Show it to our Facebook audience as well. By the way, we're live on Facebook Live.
I'll go ahead and tweet this out right now Facebook so that everybody page. Can see this picture. It's an individual by the name of Nimis Quinn Golden. Nimis Quinn Golden is 8-year-old boy.
She looks like
what?
A
what?
So you said what? What did you just
what?
Say? She looks you said like she?
Oh, this is a boy?
Excuse me, hater.
Well,
he looks
see
like
that
a
picture.
Nimis.
McHates.
Sorry.
How old?
8 years old. Lives in Montreal. Enjoys skateboarding when not dressed up in drag. Has a drag queen named the name. Lactatia is
Lactatia.
His drag queen name. And here are some words of wisdom as he's all dolled up out on the street there.
I think that anyone can do what they want in life. Mm. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. If you want to be a drag queen and your parents don't let you, you need new parents. If you want to be a drag queen and your friends don't let you, you need new friends.
Wow.
It's not where we're headed. It's where we are.
Wow. 8 years old. Where are the parents?
Remember the camera?
They were apparently beaming in the audience when he won the contest of being a drag queen.
He won the drag queen contest?
There's a contest for 8-year olds being drag queens?
Apparently so.
There is now.
Did you say it was in Canada?
I did.
Oh.
But guys, don't lose sight of the big story of the day. There's a shortage of fidget spinners
in
Germany.
Great.
So crisis, a woman's crisis. Worst fear. This is my worst fear. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I can't even read this story. A woman's worst fear was realized when the source of her excruciating headache turned out to be...
Oh,
earworm.
No, a large... spider in her ear taking up residence.
Oh, all right, see, that first of all, spiders are creepy. I hate spiders. And secondly, when something's in your ear like that, because I thought I was going deaf in Mexico, by the way, because I couldn't, all of a sudden, one day I couldn't hear.
Oh, boy.
And I realized that I'd been using Q-tips in my ear.
Sure.
So then, of course, I freaked out and was like, what did I do to my ear? So then that leads to the inevitable search on YouTube for cleaning out your ears.
Oh, don't do that. No.
Oh, have you ever seen what comes out of your ear aside from spiders?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, the stuff that your body makes and deposits in your ear? That's worse than a spider, and it has hair.
Dear listener, enjoy your breakfast this morning. But yeah, so she takes a nap on her veranda.
Oh.
Wakes up, headache.
Oh.
Doctors can't figure it out for the longest time. They shine a light in there and...
We lost two more listeners.
There he is.
From the eight. So now we're six.
We're down to six. So if we get rid of five more, we can go home.
Oh, I'll take care of that by the end of this segment.
All right.
A pilot crashed his light aircraft after his GPS... What happened? What?
Somebody just tweeted something god-awful. Oh, my God. What are you doing?
What is wrong with you people?
The reaction on camera was great.
God. I don't know that I should look at your
hold
side.
Hold on, let me.
No. What do you want me to do here?
We have Twitter open here, and it's a constant feed. And oh God, someone just tweeted something very inappropriate. Keith, you don't want to.
It's gone.
Keith. Save yourself, man. Don't look.
Stop! Look! Don't you don't want to see this?
I don't know where to put the camera.
So do you want me to do the story about the guy who crashed his plane?
Yeah,
or do you want me to look at your screen?
No, it's better than the tweet that came through.
Oh God!
You gotta love the internet.
Yeah.
So a pilot was just following GPS directions on his in his plane. He was trying to land at an airfield that didn't exist, but he insisted, "I'm landing this plane right here." He and his co-pilot actually had an argument. We have audio from the black box of as the plane went down. Go ahead, Ben.
Make a right turn.
Okay. Wait. No. It means bear right.
No.
Up there.
It said right. It said take a right.
No. Look, it means go up to the right, bear right, over the bridge, and hook up with 307.
Make a right turn. Maybe it's a shortcut, Dwight. It said go to the right.
It can't mean that. There's a light there.
I think he knows where it is going.
This is the
machine knows.
This is the light.
Stop yelling at me.
No.
Didn't and will.
I was going to say.
I mean, look, the guy is okay. He's fine. They're fine. That's the crazy. Plane's damaged, but whatever.
Right. Those guys recreated the exact conversation I had with my wife the other day in the car. That was word for word.
Did you ever dry your car out? Because that car, that ended in a lake there.
Whoops.
Let's see. Oh, I want to thank listener at Zach Bonesteel who submitted this story about police who arrested a suspect who allegedly shot a man using a shotgun shell packed with...
Rice Krispies.
We talked about that yesterday.
Sorry about that.
Hey, Keith, you ever listen to the program?
There's a lot going on around here.
You and Cal have something in common.
Yeah, well, we're certainly not going to be posing for your little bromance pictures, so don't get any ideas.
Absolutely, that's what we do have in common.
Is that...
Is that it?
You don't want to end on that, do you?
Oh, no. Have you guys talked about the meat dispenser? The meat locker thingy that...
Is this having anything to do with man spreading?
I'm going to pull the ripcord on this segment. So this butcher has set up a vending machine.
Okay.
And you can buy any cuts of meat and all this stuff. It's temperature controlled. It sounds like a really cool idea.
I was going to say, that's kind of smart,
I would like to...
avoid the line. As long as
go to
fresh,
Wisconsin for this. Yeah.
As long as I know it's fresh and it's like packed that day.
So this guy basically can set his own hours. He just puts the meat in the little window unit, the little vending machine, and
goes home for the day. What's on the menu, though?
Oh, we've got bacon, we've got brats, we've got ham, we've got all sorts of cuts, and it's in a vending machine, temperature controlled. I love this idea.
That's a pretty nice idea. Like
Hashtag meat on the street.
Meat machine.
I don't know.
Do we have one more?
I see the wheels spinning in Keith's eyes.
That's actually a fidget spinner. A man in Utah woke up for work the other morning and stumbled when he got out of bed because he tripped over his neighbor, who was, of course, sleeping on his floor in his bedroom.
That's normal.
You gotta love
that's
every
Friday for Brad.
I love every story that puts in the line, police suspect he was either intoxicated or under the influence. it's like in every story like this. But I think the guy gets less of a charge because at least he was at his next door neighbor's house. I mean, it's not like a random house down the street another town. I mean, he came close, Your Honor.
He almost made it to his house.
He almost got home.
It's like morning, neighbor.
It's like they got that.
Howdy.
Can I borrow a cup of sugar this morning? It's like the guy that ends up at the neighbor's bed because he confuses the house. I think that's worse than just waking up.
I'm going to go man spread.
I think that's a good idea, and I think we'll leave it on this tweet, too, by the way. It says, Black Cloud Mafia says, tune in tomorrow for the Morning Blaze with Michael Pelka. This is the Morning Blaze.
You're waking up to the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Anybody other than the Blaze Brad and Cal 79 Real Chris Cruz. Not a cop, by the way, tweeted, the level of Real Chris Cruz's laughter is directly proportional to the chance that at Cal 79 dumps to a best of.
Got my finger on the button.
Well, my boss just got in, so we might go into best of in a couple of minutes. Good thing we got all the jokes out of the way.
And now
we could talk about serious business.
Yes, because
you do have a Trump story.
I do have a Trump story, so we are, you know, as we've been doing all morning long, we are talking about the news.
Issues.
News of the day.
Yes.
News issues.
Yes. As the people start to filter into the Blaze Mercury Studios here. It was announced Monday, two major sponsors of New York's public theater are pulling funding for a production of President Donald Trump-themed production of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar.
Are you sure? Because they said this is a Conan
right,
firing,
of course, right.
Not a Trump.
Mm-hmm. So the producers of the play say this is about Conan's firing.
Right.
Conan's firing when he took over for Jay Leno.
Yeah, you remember that.
Because he got stabbed in the middle of the NBC, right?
Not literally, but yes.
That was sort of. Yeah. When was that? That was like...
It was a while
1800?
Ago.
How long? That was a long
was a while
time
ago. When Jay Leno was supposed early. To retire.
Right.
They gave it to Conan, right. But then they brought Jay Leno back.
Yeah. They gave Jay Leno the time slot before the show.
Was it before or after?
No,
yeah,
it was before, and that flopped. So it was the dumbest mess. Yeah, it was a total mess. So, yeah, I mean, we all remember that. And, of course, why wouldn't you, like, theme the Julius Caesar around? That is so stupid. So the thing is, they've put Donald Trump and Melania in this play. She has the female lead has an accent. I mean, the story's on the Blaze. You can see it and make your own determination.
And come on, nobody else wears a long ass tie like that.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is a big long tie.
Well, apparently, Donald Trump Jr. wrote that he tweeted, "I wonder how much of this art is funded by taxpayers. Serious question. When does art become political and political speech? And does that change things?" I mean, again, go back to insert any other president in here and what would happen. If you put Obama in that position, there would be riots.
Not just that. I think we've lost respect for the office.
Yes, that's exactly
And that's one of the things that I think we're there.
Yes.
You know, and I don't play the whole left versus right. Oh, Obama did it. No, right now we've lost the respect for the office.
Yeah.
And it does not matter. In my opinion, I hope it doesn't matter who it is now. They're just going to mock it, especially from the left.
Again, it's not about left or right. It's about right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the thing. That back when Kennedy was in office, I mean, he could have been the biggest woman, whatever. But the media respected. They didn't talk about things that were not appropriate to talk about.
Well,
that sounds weird coming out of my mouth this morning, doesn't it? But you're right. There's no respect for the office of the president.
There's a difference between trying to, I guess, question certain things and trying to provoke and offend.
Right.
And that's what things are happening now.
Well, and you know what's happening here, too? Delta Airlines and Bank of America? Bank of America said, they put out a statement, Bank of America supports art programs worldwide, including an 11-year partnership with the Public Theater and Shakespeare in the Park. Public Theater chose to present Julius Caesar in such a way that it was intended to provoke and offend. Had this intention been made known to us, we would have decided not to sponsor it. We are withdrawing our funding for this production. And this, I think, is curious coming on the heels of the whole Kathy Griffin thing.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. And again, if there's a president that I would not make fun of, it's Trump.
Why?
Why?
Because he knows, we've learned that Trump has some issues and he has a list. I would hate to be on that list.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be on that list.
And we've seen it with Comey. Comey list. Before was the best, the greatest, the most tremendous person. Now he's a liar, a weak, a traitor, a leaker. You don't want to be on that. I think one
man spreader.
Man spreader. Right. Yeah. Bromancer.
All of those things.
All of those.
See, and apparently the left just, and there's an actual clip of this on the Blaze in the story.
Oh, I've seen it.
And it's, they grab him. I mean, it's, you know, the classic Julius Caesar, but these guys are in suits, modern day dress. And I mean, come on. It is the president and his wife.
Obviously.
It is obvious that that is who they are trying to portray. And that's the thing. And again, you put Obama, you take them out and put Obama in. And, oh, crap.
Uh-oh.
Glenn's here. I think we're fired. I swear we didn't mean any of it.
Like to say that I had nothing to do with the last
This was all Cal's idea.
Where's Doc?
He took a bit of a vacation.
Don't look in his dressing room because he's not there.
Yeah.
He's not there.
He decided to...
I thought he'd let you know.
Yeah.
No.
He didn't pass it by you?
He didn't pass it by me.
We asked him if he filled out the form.
Yeah, no, pretty didn't sure fill out the form or anything.
Form 1-C9.
Well, the shows never sound better. I just want you to
know. Oh, thank you.
I was totally responsible.
Thank you, boss.
That was my idea. No, I came up with all of that content. Are you kidding?
No, that was my content. I wanted to talk about the bromancing, the man spreading.
The man spreading. I found that. I just want you to know that. And Donald Trump.
To isolate that and send just that one piece.
I think that's a good idea. I think that's a really good idea. Is he gone now?
Yeah, he is gone.
He's gone, okay. How is he listening? Nothing works. Maybe he wasn't listening on Roku. And
well, it was funny because I kept hearing some classical music. I was like, Keith,
turn that crap down.
I was a little bit like, Keith, what the hell? And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, boss, I haven't given my seat.
I've never seen.
I don't
Chris
think I ever
see
you move that fast. Yeah,
it was like out the door. Turn that music down.
You know, I couldn't read him. He had that serious face, and I was like, okay, either Keith told him what we just talked about, or he's been listening on his way into work.
Nope, right. Pretty sure Keith must have told him.
And I was like, oh my god, here it is. I've never seen a firing live. I was ready to
live on the radio.
I was ready to just turn on my phone and be like, oh, we need to Facebook Live this right now.
It could happen. It could happen at any moment.
I lost 10 pounds just right there.
You did. You're you know, Puerto Rican and kind of a tan, but you went white.
I went white.
Pale white. Completely pale white.
Oh,
we all got very quiet.
I'm returning to Twitter to read some of those.
No, let's go away from Twitter.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
It's a good thing. All right. Good thing we didn't have that picture up when he walked in, huh?
Oh God!
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
I can explain that one, Glenn. That's you mean the 8-year-old cross-dressing LGBT queen? No, not that one. The other picture. The other picture.
The happy picture.
Yes,
they're really happy.
The way to
can we
happy
go back
picture.
To that happy?
I think we just we should probably just like start rolling music and take
yeah,
a
where's,
break.
Yeah, where's that's the commercial? Really,
isn't it time feel, to take a break?
I feel like the commercial like, yeah. should be puppet. Shoot, oh, there it is.
It's the longest 60 seconds of my life. This is the morning blaze.
I'm getting out of here.
And we still have jobs, amazingly enough.
So far.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Thompson.
Doc is on vacation. It's at the Blaze Brad. It's at Cal 79 at Real Chris Cruz. We are all here, and we have okay. We've turned a serious corner.
Yes, we did.
Keep those tweets coming. Yeah, out.
First hour and a half was fun.
And by the way, we just got the call sign to continue those conversations.
Okay, good.
So right after this guest, we can go back.
All right, gotcha. Turning to a serious topic, Dan Caldwell joins us on the phone. He's the policy director with Concerned Veterans of America. And this is, the VA is obviously a topic that the doc is very passionate about. I have also had my dad use the VA a lot, and I had a good friend who...
I use it. Yeah.
And you use the VA. Well, yeah, you too. But thank you. Riding levity. Dan, let's talk about this. Welcome to the Morning Blaze, by the way. Let's talk about what's happening today, this Senate vote.
House vote.
Vote.
Yes. First of all, thanks for having me on again. Today, the House is going to vote on a bill called the VA Accountability and Whistleblower Protection Act. Mm-hmm. To sum it up and make it easier to fire and discipline employees who are found guilty of misconduct, right now can take years in many cases to fire employees, including those convicted of things like armed robbery, continuing drunk driving, sexual assault, things of that nature. And the bill's already passed the Senate, and it's going to probably pass the House today pretty overwhelmingly, and then it'll go to the president's desk, and hopefully he'll sign it into law pretty quickly.
All right, so let's talk about the problem, the essence of the problem. Why did it become so hard to fire people who are obviously either detrimental to the VA or just scumbags in general? I mean, why can't they just simply be fired?
That's a very good question. So over the past few decades, civil service laws, not just at the VA, but across the government, became so convoluted and so bureaucratic that there's so many loopholes for employees that are engaging misconduct to delay their termination or to get out of being terminated at all. And the unions, of course, played a big role in this and advocating for changes to civil service law. There were some bizarre court cases by some activist judges in the 70s and 80s that ruled that a government job is pretty much the same as property, not a private job, not a private sector job, but a government job is the same as a personal piece of property. So you need to have, quote, due process to fire somebody from a government job. But again, not a private sector job.
How so in the world do they even come to that conclusion? I mean, that's insanity. And these are the kinds of things that drive the average citizen, taxpayer, me, insane, that we've allowed government to come to this point. I mean, it just, that sounds crazy.
It is absolutely insane, but this bill is written in a way that it will survive legal challenges. It scales back the power of some of the unions in the firing process. So this is a step, this is a good first step in the right direction. We have a lot of work to do. This is really, as I mentioned before, built up over years and years of bad big government policies and activist judges making these bizarre court rulings that have led us to where we are now. So this is, again, a good first step, but we got a lot more work to do at the VA and across the whole government.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the president already sign
an executive order,
yeah, basically mandating this?
What the president signed was an executive order that created an office called the Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection that is designed to assist the secretary, in effect, firing and disciplining people. So him creating that office, and this bill actually beefs up that office, was a first step in helping the secretary get out the bad apples. Secretary Shulkin, who's, by the way, turned out to be a very good VA secretary, said at the White House in a briefing a couple weeks ago that he has 1,500 pending disciplinary cases, and this office is supposed to help him clear those out.
All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate. And what he has done then, what President Trump has done, is created yet another department in the government that seems to me, what happens every time something new is created in government, it becomes a money sponge, it gets corrupt, I mean, with very few exceptions. So how is this office going to be different, and do you feel that it's going to make a difference?
Well, first of all, I just got to say that's a very good question, and any time there's a new government office created, you should question whether or not it's redundant or needed. In this case, the way that the executive order and the law that or the piece of legislation that's being voted on today is written is that it requires the VA to basically fold in other offices that exist into this office. They can't create new staff. It's not going to add to the headcount of VA headquarters. And in effect, is going to absorb offices that were already created to do this. And most importantly, within the law, it is given statutory and legal authority and real requirements that have to be met. So it's not just one of these showboat offices. It has real power and real expectations, both for the VA secretary and for Congress. And that's what makes it different than some of the offices that were created under the Obama administration, which was frankly a joke and just something that the previous president, the previous VA secretary could say were created to solve a problem that they weren't serious about solving.
Well, and I'm all for, if there's anything that I'm willing for the government to spend whatever amount of money is needed, it's to help our veterans. I mean, they've obviously what we've done, what the VA has done is reprehensible. I mean, the stories that have come out over the years, the most recent one, I think, what was it in Illinois, the one with the food.
They knew about cockroaches in the dining facility for years.
How does that happen? In other words, who are the people running that particular facility that allow it to get to that point? Is there an explanation for that?
Well, the biggest explanation is that there's a complete lack of accountability for employees across the VA. When you know that it's nearly impossible to get disciplined or fired for doing something wrong, or you know you can't get fired, many employees just aren't incentivized to do the right thing. So there's basically, in effect, the opportunity to engage in misconduct without repercussion. And that's why you get stories like what you described at the Himes VA in Chicago, which, interestingly enough, was at one point run by Sharon Hellman, who was the director of the Phoenix VA, when they were using a secret wait list where dozens of veterans died on them. So she was shuffled from the Himes VA, where it's very likely that she was engaging in problems, to the Phoenix VA, where she created a culture that likely killed dozens of veterans. And that's the other problem, is that the VA, because it's so difficult to fire some of these employees, often what they do, instead of even attempting to fire somebody, is they just move them from one facility to another. And that's what happened with Sharon Hellman, moving from the Himes VA to the Phoenix VA, and even before the one in Himes, Chicago area, she was moved from a facility in Washington, Washington State. So this is the pattern you see, and when any organization, when you don't have accountability, when there's no repercussions for wrongdoing, and there's no disincentive to do the wrong thing, and no incentive to do the right thing, you get a culture like you have at the VA right now.
I mean, it's amazing to me, and only I can relate it to, obviously, you know, in radio for so many years. Let's say you had a general manager that just basically never showed up for work.
Right.
Literally never came into the studio, never came in and never did anything. Then you have literally the inmates running the asylum. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like what the VA has turned into.
You know, it's funny you mention that. There's literally hospital directors, senior executive service employees, supposed to be the highest ranking VA employees, mm-hmm. who literally have not shown up to work. And it takes years to discipline them and remove them. And in many cases, the VA just, they're so daunted by the difficulty to fire them, or in many cases, they don't think they've done something wrong, which is bizarre. Literally, a lot of leaders within the VA don't believe that their employees can do anything wrong, and that's an even bigger problem. But you cited a case that's very common. There was recently a hospital director who was working remotely, quote-unquote, and was really not working at all. And this individual was not removed from their job and is still in effect on the VA's payroll. And that's the type of stuff that you know, if you're not going to get punished for a simple thing like not showing up to work, why try? Why bother? Why do the right thing if you're still going to get paid and you can't get fired? It just encourages an absolutely horrendous behavior, and that's why we keep having stories like the ones we've discussed today.
Well, and it's like sports. Sports doesn't build character, it reveals it. So obviously, when you have situations like that, you have a situation where you've got managers hiring the wrong people to begin with. who don't have the character to do the right thing in a situation like that.
That's absolutely correct. And in addition to make it hard to fire bad employees, it's hard to hire good employees because the hiring process is so convoluted and takes so long that many people are discouraged and turned off by that. And that's another thing the unions don't want to change, is they want to keep the hiring difficult and the firing difficult, because they know that if they bring in too many people from the outside world and from the private sector, mm-hmm. that their power within the VA is undermined.
Unbelievable. All right, so let's talk about how likely is this vote to pass? How likely is this measure to make it?
I think it's very, very likely. I don't want to say guaranteed, because nothing in life is guaranteed, especially with the way things are right now in Washington. But it's very, very likely. They wouldn't hold the vote if they didn't know they had the votes to pass it overwhelmingly.
And how can people get involved? How can they get in touch with you? What do our listeners need to do to take an active role?
The best thing to do is to go to our website, www.cv4a.org. So that's cv4a.org, or follow us on Facebook at Concerned Veterans for America. Those are the two best ways to get involved. You can find out about your local chapter and get connected with local staff so they can come out and volunteer with us and work with us.
Great. Dan, thank you so much for being on the Morning Blaze this morning. And we'll keep our fingers crossed. Something has to happen. The way we treat our veterans is deplorable in this country when it comes to the VA. And something has to give.
Absolutely agree. And thank you for having me on.
You betcha. Let's talk real quickly about Relief Factor. When it comes to pain, if you are in pain, there is an answer, and it is Relief Factor. And I wouldn't tell you this if I didn't know it myself. You hear Doc talk about it all the time. You hear Cal talk about mm-hmm. it. Chris talks about it. I'm telling you, I've used Relief Factor now. I think it's going on 2 years. Two or three years. It's been a while, and I take it every day. I literally take it on vacation with me. I had the bag in my suitcase, which it's funny because going to Mexico, you think, all right,
you're showing up with a bag of pills.
I thought, I wonder if I should take the little packets out of the bag that says Relief Factor and just stick them in my suitcase, I'm going to leave them in the bag that says Relief Factor, put the whole thing in a suitcase so it doesn't look, you know, strange. But I'm telling you, this stuff works. If you are in pain, if you suffer from like the sciatic, like Doc does, like back pain, like I do.
Knees and shoulders like me.
Heads, whatever.
Head, shoulders, knees and toes.
Whatever the pain is, if you suffer from it, I urge you to give Relief Factor a try. Don't do what I hear most people do. I listened and I waited like a month. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384 and get your 3-week quick start pack for just $19.95. Relieffactor.com or 800-500-8384. This is The Morning Blaze.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. We'll be right back on the Blaze Radio Network.
Good morning, Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Can I just say, I love this audience.
Oh my God. I think we have the best audience.
It is the best that I think.
Seriously, all eight of you guys are great.
Really, yeah. You're all coming over
spoiler,
for dinner one night. Yes.
We just went up to 10 because Glenn walked in.
Oh, that's true, yes.
And he's still in the room.
Right.
He is still in the room.
He's just like...
He's watching.
He's glowering.
By the way, someone's awake.
Oh, yeah. Someone.
Doc Thompson is awake.
He tweeted.
He decided to tweet.
Wait, he responded to your tweet when you tweeted out the picture of the bromance?
That we're going to recreate me and Kyle and then me and Doc. Right. He says, wait, what? Now I'm starting to worry about what's happening while I'm on vacation.
Which
he's really smart not to turn on the feed.
Yes.
And then he texted me. He was like, hello? and then I told him, I was like, you might not have a job. So I'm going to send you an audio clip.
You didn't fill out the right form is all Glenn had to say.
That's all he said. And what was the form they had to fill out?
A 1-CA, I think.
Yes.
And if you hadn't filled that out, then there might be a problem. That's all I'm going to say. Look, I'm just keeping the chair warm for you, Doc. That's all I'm doing. IR listening to TMB tweeted, whatever that tweet was, it was filtered to protect me.
You are a lucky man.
Yes. Keep those filters in place because my eyes are still stinging.
And by the way, how do you get that angle?
That's a good question.
I don't even want to know. I don't even want to ponder how.
I want to know.
Did we read this one about you being the cool uncle?
No, I did not read it.
Rob Pusey tweeted, the Blaze Brad is the TMB cool uncle that babysits and gives the kids booze. Like what I learned today. Your Uncle Buck, basically.
You know, when I was in junior high and high school, we used to go to friends' houses and there'd be beer in the fridge. And that was back in the day. Back in my day, we used to give the kids a beer and they liked it that way.
I remember, don't you put like whiskey when the teeth are coming out?
For babies. Yeah, for babies.
Give them like an 8-ounce tumbler full of whiskey and that will knock out any teeth pain whatsoever.
Does it work with adults?
It sure does.
But you have to take a bigger dose.
You don't give an 8-ounce tumbler to a baby?
Well, sure you do. You just make sure they drink it slowly.
You just rub a little bit on their gums.
I thought that's what it was, but for a second there, I was like, wait a minute. That is a lot.
You're supposed to dab your finger and rub it on their gums.
Your son will thank me one day. That's all I have to say.
Well, he's not teething.
Well.
He's 8, 7,
and
6.
Only 4 ounces. That's all
he
gets.
Do you know how old your son is?
Take a break.
He's 8, 7, and 6 all at once.
This is the Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
Sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
It's at the Blaze, Brad, in Fort Doc, along with Cal 79 and at Real Chris Cruz. If you are going to tweet at us, use the daily hashtag What I Learned Today. I want to talk about the Eubank family. Cal, you found this
pretty
story.
Fascinating.
Essentially, this is a family that when other families, they say, are forced to live in war zones, there should be no issue with theirs moving in to help. So what the Eubank family has done, and this includes mother and father, David, and the mother's name is Karen. They have 3 kids, Sahale, 16, Suzanne, 14, Peter is 11. They have moved to Mosul,
Iraq.
Literally a mile from the front line.
From the front line of where they're fighting ISIS, yeah.
So he and his wife have moved their family, their 3 kids, to a house in Mosul.
House is questionable, yeah.
Right, yeah. And I've not been to Mosul. I've been to Erbil, which is some distance away.
Have you ever been in a war zone?
I've not been that close.
I've never been in a war zone.
I can't imagine. And I can't imagine taking my family to a war zone to live.
Me neither.
But the reason that they're doing this
is very admirable.
It is. It is. And that's my question to you is this an admirable thing to do? Could you do it with your family?
Well, or
is
me this personally, child abuse? I don't know if I'd go so far as to say child abuse. But
you've moved your family to a war zone people are shooting at each other.
Not just that. I mean, we all know how deplorable and evil ISIS is.
Yes.
And what they do with prisoners,
uh-huh.
Especially
young girls,
not just young girls, American,
right,
white people, not to mention girls and young children. Yes.
Yeah. Humans in general, but those in particular.
So if they were to get a hold of them in any way, I don't think it would be a happy ending.
It is the fate, and I always, when I was growing up, but I'm a parent, that's a fate worse than death. And you go, well, what could be worse? This could be worse than death.
They describe this as a calling from God. The family spent much of the past 20 years in the jungles of Burma, where David Eubank is the father. He founded the Free Burma Rangers, humanitarian organization that provides emergency medical care, shelter, and food supplies in the country's long-running civil war. They traveled to Iraq 2 years ago, at first working alongside Kurdish Peshmerga forces in the war against the Islamic State. The family's also worked in Sudan and made 2 trips to the Kurdish areas of Syria. So they did this They basically feel that if the Syrian people can't be saved, American families don't deserve it either. They should be in it with them.
Right.
Again, admirable, very admirable, more guts than I. And I think the father's a former Marine, so it's not like he's not trained and stuff. But I don't think I could ever do that. I think putting my kids in that kind of danger, I think you can help in other ways. You know, you can be a voice and you can help these people who need help, obviously, in other ways. I don't know if I'd take my family into a war zone.
Well, and if you go to his other site, freeburmarangers.org, there is a, you know, there's a who we are. And under that, there is a in memoriam. And these are people who have, died in the course of serving
this organization.
So he's lost people. We know it's dangerous. I will say this, being there, and when we went there with Mercury One, I think it was 2 years ago, to Erbil. Okay. To help move Christians out when they were literally being forced into Erbil from other parts of Iraq by ISIS, and it was amazing the fact that these people had such high spirits. They were all living in literally storage containers on the lots of these churches, these small churches. I mean, at one point, there was something crazy like 1,000 people sitting in this one little lot in a church, showering in outdoors, living in these conditions with generators providing power. We'd be interviewing them, the generator would die, the lights would
just die,
all go down. They weren't fazed at all.
Used to it.
They were so used to it, you know, we were kind of freaking out, but it felt, they were, first of all, they were so incredibly grateful for the for the help and the care. So I totally understand that. When you help people like that, when you provide service to people, it's almost addictive.
I'm sure. I mean, I've volunteered my time. I've worked at soup kitchens and home for homeless people and helping feed homeless people and finding shelters and stuff. Of course, everybody wants to help. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if taking your family to a war zone is I guess it's giving them a lifelong experience. I agree 100%. I just, like I said, I wouldn't put my family in that kind of danger, especially, you know, that close to the front line. Just says here, his team of Free Burma Rangers, including medics from Burma's minorities, who've traveled from their own war to help in Iraq, prepare their equipment for an expected afternoon push in Iraqi forces, where he took his, he says that he doesn't take his kids that close to it, but they still are there.
They're there.
I mean, they could easily get, you know, hurt. He says here they've been shell shot at. They've grown up like this, referring to his kids. Our deal is that if there's another family there, we can be there. Americans aren't worth more than anyone else, which I agree with. Every life is precious, and every life deserves defending, you know. Again, though, I call me selfish. I don't want my family. My family's lives, to me, is more important than anyone else's,
right? You
know? So I'm going to protect my family and maybe teach them in another way. You know, we can help in other ways. We can try to find maybe other than, you know, obviously donating money if you have it, but maybe help, you know, there's so many refugees coming in, maybe help refugees find someone that needs a job, find, you know, things that way. I'm trying to find a way to help people.
Sleeve did it, tweeted, I'm a Christian. I don't think God sent that family to a war zone. You know, the father thinks he feels like that it is a calling from God. I mean, who's to say it isn't? I don't know. I mean, and I'm with you, Cal. I don't know that I could take, especially if I had young daughters. You're putting them in a position of extreme danger,
right?
And so, do you feel if something happens to them? I mean, how do you live with that? Is David Eubank is the father? I guess he's okay. We should try to get him on the show.
Maybe.
Because I would love to know the mindset. I mean, I think it's very admirable. I mean, the guy has got, he's got guts. He's got passion for what he does. He obviously cares about people, and he's done some amazing things. It's just, where do you find that strength?
Yeah. And it says here, I'm just reading more of the article. So the daughter who is just got her driver's license, so that makes her what, like 16?
Yeah, one's 14, one's 16, and the boy is 11.
Right. And it says here, the daughter recently got her driver's permit.
where the family sometimes drives patients from what her father deems, quote, a relatively secure area to a, quote, secure area. Would you put your daughter in a vehicle to drive people from, I guess, like a frontline type of area or near the front line to a more secure area? So quoting Eubanks here, I know to some Americans, it would seem super high risk, but to us, it's not that risky. It's an armored car just in case.
Right.
I still wouldn't let my daughter drive an armored car.
Right. I mean, you hear stories all the time of servicemen, and I'm not attempting to second guess David at all.
What I'm
saying is that you still hear stories of servicemen injured, you know, in riding in armored vehicles, whatever it is. Where do you find the strength, I guess, to take your family into this war zone?
ISIS doesn't play by your typical.
Right.
There was a set rules of war where certain.
Which always
lines,
seemed odd to me.
Yeah. But
yes.
Certain lines aren't crossed.
Yeah.
I don't think ISIS abides by those rules of war, you know, taking young children as sex slaves and burning them alive.
Right.
Setting men on fire, beheading. Report like. When an aid worker or a reporter is taken hostage and then killed, they're not a soldier. They're not a threat. But to them, they're just trying to make a point here.
That is a fascinating story. We'll tweet this out. And again, his other website, or David Eubanks' website, is freeburmarangers.org. And they seem to do some good for people. So that's, more power to them, I say.
Yeah.
Tweet us. Use the daily hashtag, What I Learned Today, and we'll get to your tweets coming up next. We'll take a break right now. This is The Morning Blaze.
This is
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Yeah, Doc is regretting vacation about now. It's the Blaze Brad filling in. Cal 79's here, too.
This tweet's is what happens when you take vacation. This is why you don't take vacation.
This is what happens. The Waterboy tweeted at the Blaze Brad, wouldn't take his daughters to Iraq, but wouldn't mind having them around Jeffy MRA. I don't know about that.
ISIS or Jeffy. That's a tough decision.
Sleeve did it. A lifelike experience is right. Cal 79, but the life will be a short one doing it over there. The Eubank family just tweeted that story out, and it is it's a fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. The guy has he's got I don't know. If,
I just can't.
More principled than me. I don't know what the word is.
Because there's part of me, it's just like, yes, I would love to help people like that and sacrifice like that. But the other part of me is like, God, what if my daughter died or my wife got captured?
How do you live?
I couldn't live
with
myself, you know. But I'm sure. I mean, he's there, and I guess he's taking precautions, you know, and making sure as much as he can. Yeah,
in a war zone.
In a war zone.
Couple of stories that prove the world is going crazy. This one is out of Washington. A principal there is offering students $100 out of her own pocket if they will do this one thing one day a week for the duration of summer break.
And what's this one thing? Get a job?
No. No, she's challenging them, and the proof that she will require is two signed letters from grown-up witnesses, which I think that's funny. You have to have two signed letters so they don't have an accomplice. But the challenge is to stay off any screens, television, games, phones, tablets, everything.
For how long?
The 11 Tuesdays that we have of summer break.
One day a week.
For the entire summer.
Stay away from a screen. Yeah. She's willing to give $100
to each student. Diana Smith is the principal of Washington Latin Public Charter School, and these are 8th and 9th graders.
Wow.
And they're just, for one day a week, they have to forego electronics.
So no TV, no laptops, no games. Phones, tablets, computers. That's going to be a challenge.
That's a
challenge for me.
Yeah. That's hard to do in this society. I mean,
how do you get, how do you, for one whole, I mean, I'm sure it would open your mind to so many other things.
Well, and who was it, Doc, when we had him on Glenn's show, Small Data?
I can't remember the author's name, but he wrote that book about
We're never bored.
Yeah.
Essentially now. That's the problem. We always
Martin Lindstrom, I think.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
Fascinating topic. Yeah. And we never give our brains a chance to shut off and go into coast.
Oh, no, absolutely. I feel myself stimulated. Like, it's so weird. I'm very aware of it when I'm out somewhere, if I'm like online or if I have to wait for anything, if I'm not in some sort of interaction,
mm-hmm.
I automatically go for my phone. Yeah. And even while I'm doing it, I'm like, stop going for your phone. It's just the first thing I look at, I just scroll through, like, did I get any emails? Did I get any texts?
I can't leave my phone in my car. I can't leave it at home. Let's say this.
Okay, you're going to work and you're more than halfway on your drive to work.
Mm-hmm.
You forgot your phone. Do you turn around and go back and get it?
Mm-hmm.
You will.
Yeah.
Even if it means you're late for work.
I've done that before where I've come all the way into the studio and I've gone back before I've had to go in and to do television just because I cannot because I don't know why.
It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing.
Because I remember when cell phones came out and I thought, oh man, I gotta have one of those. I want one of those.
I had one of these fat bricks, you know.
Which were easier to hold, by the way, on your shoulder. The new ones are hard to do that with. But now it's like, it's a tether.
Oh, absolutely.
And I remember going on business trips and actually going to the hotel and saying, do I have any messages?
I read this article about how a lot of the big tech companies, pretty much all of them, you know, Google, Facebook, Apple, all of them, and the app developers that create these different, whether it be Snapchat, Instagram, they don't, you know, these things are supposed to make our lives easier and help in a way, your phone, right. Your devices. And they actually, the way they design these things is not how to make life easier or better. It's how to keep you engaged longer. They want mm-hmm. you using the product mm-hmm. longer, whether it's a phone, a tablet, an app. They want you to be engaged, not because you're doing something that is purposeful or helpful, but because they want your attention mm-hmm. for as long as possible on the product they're selling.
Plus, it's a gumball machine.
Yeah.
You're buying gumballs, which is data. Minutes
mm-hmm.
and the more that they can keep you engaged in buying those gumballs, the more money they make.
So what this teacher is doing is actually very admirable.
So yeah, so this
I'm already having a problem with my daughter. She's almost three now, and she's already. I mean, we limit her to about maybe 30 minutes a day of technology, whether it be an iPad or whatever. But
does she have an iPad?
She has an iPad.
That's on you then.
It is on me. No, absolutely, 100% on me. Because we wanted her to kind of interact with this as well as with other things, but she's always asking for it, and we have to, you know, I don't think nowadays you can't have one.
I know. You know, they have to learn how to use them because that is the world we live in. But boy,
and she watches her you know, kitty videos and stuff. There's actually a kids YouTube app, and she watched. We were very strict about what she watched. You know, we monitor it completely, so she's watching
there are good filters.
Yeah.
We just don't use them.
I have to use them. But it's all about shapes and colors and all that stuff. That's what she plays with, but she's constantly asking for it, and we have to it's a challenge to keep her out of it.
Well, I just tweeted the story. Fascinating. It'll be interesting to see. And I do think it's funny that she requires two signed letters from grown-up witnesses.
Because how can the kid prove that they haven't been on it all day?
Well, and you can con a kid, probably you can con one adult in the day. But
two would be difficult.
Yes. Like, never take one Baptist fishing. Drink all your beer. And the other story that proves that the world is going absolutely nuts.
But we can all, you know, the whole North Korea thing?
Uh-huh.
No worries. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Dennis Rodman has arrived in North Korea. And he's there to broker a peace deal with Kim Jong-un.
It so just seems so
the whole nuclear threat from the crazy fat guy? No worries.
What? Okay, Rodman's gone over there before to talk to this guy.
He's been there, yeah, and he's been quoted as saying Kim Jong-un is his, quote, best friend. He said that. He's been there. So here, he went in 2014, and he's saying happy birthday to Kim Jong-un, who he refers to as his best friend. He also...
Did he sing it to him? Like Marilyn Monroe.
Happy birthday, dear Kim Jong-un. Happy birthday.
Dressed as Marilyn Monroe.
He would do it. You've seen him dressed as a woman before. I mean, we all know, if you don't know Dennis Rodman, you know, in the 90s, he was one of the better basketball players.
Yeah.
He played for the Pistons and for the Bulls. Pippen. Yeah. And so he was actually a contestant
like Madonna
on The Apprentice with Trump back in, I think, 2013. or sometime that year. And Trump's been quoted saying, Dennis is not a stupid guy. He's smart in many ways. He's very streetwise. So, and then Rodman on this trip to North Korea, they asked him, what do you think of the president? He said, well, I'm pretty sure he's pretty much happy with the fact that I'm over here trying to accomplish something that we both need.
You know, in looking at these pictures of Rod, I'd forgotten what he did wear at times. And I mean, it is just, he was the first guy. I mean, he was the first guy that really, and a major sports figure, who really broke the mold for wearing weird stuff.
For being a weirdo?
He was like the Liberace of
the green hair and all the piercings. I don't think he's, I think he might be, you know, bi-curious.
Or trisexual.
nowadays, I don't know what the name for it is. I think he's into it all.
It is just, he really...
Remember he was married to Carmen Electra for a while?
Yeah. Yeah, very strange. Like a week. So in retrospect, you know, him being best friends with Kim Jong-un...
Hey, you know what? I'm
all
for it.
Makes total sense.
If he's friends with Kim Jong-un and he can talk some sense into him...
Yes.
I'm all for it. Who else can get that close? Maybe it's an assassination mission.
The worst.
It's like that movie.
Anything.
The dictator.
These days is absolutely possible.
If Rodman comes back and Kim Jong-un suddenly gets ill or something.
Yeah, he's we'll not know feeling well.
Where it came from.
Dennis Rodman, national hero.
This is the president. I need you to go to North Korea and assassinate Kim Jong-un. It'll be tremendous. We'll solve the problem in no time.
This is the Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network. The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
For your tweets here, let's see. That's a stupid one. I'll read this one from Dan. Dennis Rodman is as crazy as his best friend. Yes, Rodman is going to South Korea or North Korea
right, to broker a peace deal.
Yeah, he's going to take care of everything. Donna wrote, future revenue stream, product placement in user-generated soft products.
And she also tweeted, future news, 2063, Rodman was a superlative NSA operative.
That would not surprise me if that came out later, that Rodman actually was a government operative. I mean, it's such a crazy world that you never know. And there are a lot of pictures that are popping up on Twitter that if you have your filters engaged, you won't see them. And you know what? You'll thank us later.
Mm-hmm.
That was the finger. Apparently, I didn't use the right special
thing. The entrepreneurial spirit. Is to dream and to do. We are Building America.
And we have with us this morning Lindsay Lang. You are with fatmerchant.com.
Yes.
And fat is with two T's.
F-A-T-T, merchant. Yes, sir.
Okay. And F-A-T-T stands for?
Fast, affordable transaction technology. But it's also meant to be fun.
Right.
Everything in payments is trans this or card that. So we like to say we make your wallet fat as well.
I like that.
So you guys are a payment service provider. So you, between the merchant and the buyer, you complete the transaction. So if I own a whatever and I want to take credit card payments, you make that happen for me.
Correct. So we were actually founded in 2014 to empower small businesses across the United States with simplified payment processing. Mm. So we're actually the first to market subscription-based merchant services provider. So we do unlimited payment processing for businesses across the states for 0% markup. No extra ancillary fees, and it's all without a contract as well. So it's a very, very transparent model with no strings attached.
That's great, because most places will charge per transaction like 2%, 4%, 5% per transaction, and that usually goes to the customer. They'll offset that onto you, the buyer. But you guys don't charge that. You just charge just a subscription fee and unlimited payments.
And unlimited payments. That's right. And it's a very costly expense. It's never been a positive experience for the business owners either. So it's been a necessary evil because any business that is accepting cards for payments is required to have a merchant processor. So we're able to be ubiquitous across different industry channels, whether you're retail, whether you're a doctor's office or healthcare or professional services. And we consistently save businesses about 40% on their processing. That's big bucks for a small business. In Central Florida alone last year, we saved $2.4 million just in our Orlando area. And again, we're nationwide.
And this also has to do with those chip cards now, right? Because chip cards are a big deal. I think a lot of merchants, maybe if you're you know, getting into a startup, if you don't know about the liability that you now have as a business,
right?
If you accept credit cards and you don't accept the chips, there's a problem. I mean, as a small business, that can be quite costly if you don't know the rules and regs, mm-hmm. right?
Very much so. So we've gone away. I'm sure a lot of people, you guys yourselves sitting here and people in the audience as well, have seen that the chips have come up on their cards mm-hmm. from their bank now. Mm-hmm. So a lot of businesses...
And they make things so much faster and easier.
Said no one ever.
Right?
Yeah.
But they're supposedly safer.
Correct. They're significantly safer. So we can nerd out about how it is they work, but maybe we can put a pin in the technology mm-hmm. side of it. But a lot of businesses still have that outdated technology in terms of how to accept those chip cards. And so the liability is on them. The financial risk is on them when they're not accepting those EMV cards. So we've always made sure that our technology has been EMV compliant even before the liability shift happened, which occurred in 2015. So we have all EMV compliant technology for all kinds of businesses.
Is it? It's been, what, 2 years? 2015 kind of, when that?
2015 mm-hmm. October.
And there's still places that you'll go into, it's like the little thing will say, no chip, please swipe. Yeah.
Which I like to say is the, wow, thank you. But I mean, the businesses who don't accept the chips, they are liable. I'm going to clarify that. They end up being liable if the card is stolen and someone's using it fraudulently.
Or if the cardholder just decides to charge back the transaction. So I'll take a case in point, one of the businesses that we work with in Orlando. It's a strip of bars. And they get a lot of chargebacks. I know all the tequila from Mexico made you forget about them. So she was telling me that she's like, think about all the chargebacks that we receive because people go out, they have a little bit too much of a good time. Mm-hmm. They forgot that they went to that bar. So they see it come up on their bank statement and they're like, nope, that wasn't me. And they charge it back. Well, if they don't have that EMV compliant equipment, then they are liable for that transaction. So they have to take the hit. So this strip
really,
of bars.
Really, even if that person did go in and do it.
Correct. Even though they signed the receipt because they're not, the business is not EMV compliant.
Wow.
So it was tens of thousands of dollars annually just in that use case alone for that business.
And having the chip doesn't, it protects them against that.
Yes,
they
sir.
Don't have to.
So correct. That happens a lot. People go to bars.
Get drunk and get drunk. Forget that they spent $300.
You know what happens? Is Bob goes out and Sally, the wife, says, Bob, were you at the bar? No, I wasn't me. I never went to the bar. That's obviously not, that wasn't Charlie. And it, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. So this actually is going to get Bob in trouble.
Right, absolutely.
The chip is not Bob's friend.
The chip is not Bob's friend.
We're saving businesses. Really, we're ruining relationships.
It's getting really hard to cheat on people these days. That's the problem.
I think it's a good thing, right?
That's what they say. That's what I keep hearing.
And how did you guys get started? I mean, who came up with the idea to do this? And I'm sure it's very competitive, too. There's probably a lot of companies that are, you know, trying to give this service and make money off it.
Yeah, so it's definitely a competitive space, but we're the only subscription-based provider.
Yeah, it's the first I've heard of it. Yeah, that's very smart.
Yeah, so it came across our founder. I was the first full-time hire. Our founder, she used to be an agent just selling merchant services for all the big banks. She realized really quickly she didn't like that. There was a significant lack of transparency, lack of service for the businesses that she was able to offer just because of corporate red tape. So she went to her bosses and said, why don't we just open up direct costs? Stop nickel and diming people. Stop charging them all the extra fees. Just charge them a flat monthly membership. They laughed at her. They're like, why are we going to make a fraction of what we could make on the businesses? So she left. She started Fat Merchant. Friend of a friend knew that she needed some help in the marketing realm. So I went in for the interview. I thought, oh my gosh, have I gotten this desperate that I'm going in for a job in credit card processing?
I was going to ask you, how do you want to get into a job in credit card processing?
You don't in your right mind, I would say. I was dreading going in for the interview, but I absolutely jumped 2 feet in because it was the first that I'd heard of a business truly setting out to revolutionize a very stagnant industry, but doing it in the interest of the small business owner, not doing it with the greed and the corruption of the other businesses, which is what else is out there. So our biggest competition is the big banks, but they're also the easiest to beat because there's no service, they have no technology, they're so expensive. So it's a no-brainer every time for small businesses.
I will second that. I've actually dealt with a small bank just for personal checking and savings accounts for years now because the big banks suck.
Yeah, horribly.
I mean, they just don't care. The last time, and it's total non sequitur, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I wrote a check. It was at the time. This is how long ago it was. Wrote a check. I think it. I hadn't transferred funds. Whatever. I think it bounced. But then they. You know how they told me about it?
Mm-hmm.
They sent me a letter in the mail. So by the time that it got to me, four more, which, you know, $30 a check.
Right, per check, yeah.
I mean, it was like $200-$300 by the time I went in. He says, yeah, well, we can't take all those. I'm like.
And then they charge you insufficient fees on top of it.
So dealing with small companies like yours makes total sense for small businesses because you're not going to screw them.
That is a fantastic point. No, we won't. And we get asked all the time, you know, it sounds too good to be true. How can you do what you're doing? But the fact that we have no contract for our businesses keeps us honest. So we're forced to
cancel
at any time.
You cancel subscription
whenever
you want.
Cancel at any time. No
fees
contract.
Or fines or anything.
No cancellation fees. So we are required, we have to uphold everything, all the expectations we set forth to, you know, the business we work with, because we could lose them every month. So we have to win their business back every single month. And with that, even having no contract, we have an over 98% retention rate. Industry average attrition is around 15 to 20%. We have about 98.5% retention with no contract. So bring back transparency in merchant services, bring back service, which is completely lacked in the industry.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, it's proof that if you treat people right and don't overcharge them, they'll come back. Kind of a simple concept when you think about it.
That, and we answer their phones when they call. We don't have 1-800 numbers. They dial our local office. So we're just here to provide better service, better technology, and a crap load of savings.
And did you have to create a card-specific card readers or something like that? Or
so we do have our own technology. So we have a payment platform that focuses, one, for professional services with recurring billing, invoicing, syncs with QuickBooks, and then we have a light point of sale as well. So for retail-focused businesses, but we also resell a lot of industry-standard equipment.
And do you have your own software that can integrate into people's, let's say I have an online business and I want to accept online, so you have like a API that I would install into my specific software that would run the same thing?
100%. We have our own API, shopping cart, terminals for retail stores, like I said, the light point of sale. So we have a full suite of solutions.
Yeah, cool. And a discount.
And a discount.
Oh, that's right.
Fatmerchant.com.
That's F-A-T-T, merchant.com. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes.
And any small business that wants to sign up for the subscription, go there. And what's the promo code?
It is DOC. DOC. And you get 2 free months of membership.
I know, exactly.
I know. Should it be Brad or Cal?
Should be.
Well, the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, I guess.
Okay.
Jeez. So the promo code is DOC. Get how much? 50%?
2 free months of membership.
Oh, 2 free months of membership.
And a free car? That's crazy. How are they going to do that?
Amazing.
No, it's a promo code DOC. Two free months of membership. Fatmerchant.com. If you're a small business, you need to be able to take payments. You want to deal with a company that actually you have a name, not a number. Mm-hmm. That's what you
do. They'll answer your phone calls, too.
And that's how they can get in touch with you and get any questions answered, right?
Absolutely. Fatmerchant.com.
All right. Lindsay Lang, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
And don't forget to get in touch with Relief Factor for crying out loud. We've been telling you about it for years now, and if you haven't called for your 3-week quick start pack, if you haven't gone to relieffactor.com, if you're still sitting there in pain, that's on you. Because Relief Factor works. Doc uses it for his sciatica. Cal uses it just because he's getting older and he finds it hard to get out of bed.
Yeah, everything hurts.
Everything hurts, and it gets worse, I'll tell you that. I took it on vacation with me to Mexico, and I'm telling you, it's one of those things that once you start taking it, you realize the pain relief you're feeling, and you go, this can't be, it's natural, it doesn't have any side effect. And then you stop taking, you go, oh man, it hurts again. It works. And the best part is a 3-week quick start pack is $19.95, less than $20 for a 3-week quick start pack at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384 and talk to somebody. Ask them questions. Find out if it's right for you. Don't take my word for it. Call them. Ask them. 800-500-8384 or go to relieffactor.com. Yep, it's that time again, my friends. It is time to find out what, if anything, you learned today. Here's what I learned. If you're going to take a shirtless picture with your bro, don't look happy or people are going to think you're
gay.
Well, Happy. Homotypesexual.
Yes.
Happy. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, man spreading is sweeping Spain and causing the milk fighters to unite.
Mucha. No. Lucha
libre.
Mujeres luchadores.
Tres colores.
Gal, what'd you learn today?
I learned that the man spreading crisis in Spain is going out of hand, and the fighting milkmaids are fighting the good fight against man spreading.
And if any of this makes no sense, just go back and listen to the first hour.
Be warned, though.
Make sure the kids are out of the room. Yeah. Kirk, did you learn anything today aside from I don't have the right finger?
Yeah, what I learned today is now that I know what a bromance is, how do I get my bromance started with Glenn? I mean,
I don't know. That's
kind of, he's a little old for you. I'm just saying.
That's more of a
May, December. Wow, Chris just edited himself. Keith, did you have something you learned? You like, gotta leave.
Keith, possibly
learned.
What? I learned that my coworkers are way too comfortable with each other today. And it was not a good place.
I scheduled a picture with Sean. He's going to take our pictures.
We're wearing pants. What did you expect?
We're shirtless.
Put them back on.
Once again, we are shirtless.
Right. And there's a lady present, and she's not offended. Why
she's
are
not
you
offended. Exactly. Oh, he walked away.
I'm telling you. I think
some people
little,
around,
you
know, here.
I also learned that I may one day actually say the words, Dennis Rodman has convinced Kim Jong-un to step down. And there is world peace. Could you imagine?
That would be so weird. Or Kim Jong-un is dead. And we think Rodman killed him.
Yep.
That would be really strange.
Be awesome.
Chris Cruz, what did you learn today?
I didn't learn anything, but I got the listeners.
Of course.
Rants Out Loud learning. Glenn Beck walks in the studio and suddenly the real Casper Cruz, the Puerto Rican ghost, appears.
I've never seen anybody move that fast or turn so white.
The water boy also learning some men turn other men homotype sexual. Glenn Beck turns them white. Woke Beck. Not a cop also learning, do not stop this, Glenn. If you do, Doc Thompson will not learn his lesson.
That's right.
Is somewhere a lesson to be learned somewhere here. Right now, Doc is wrapping his head with duct tape.
Oh, yeah, he is.
And it's kind of crazy.
He texted me again.
He did?
He says, good. I don't know what that means.
Good.
Did you reply to his first text?
Yes.
What did you reply with?
I love you.
Oh.
So can't wait to take a picture with you. He's chest, bare chested. Hey,
whatever it takes. Glenn is coming up next, and I assume...
Do you know how to close this show? We didn't do it yesterday, right, properly.
We didn't do it yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, coming up next on the Glenn Beck program,
yes.
Top of Hour 2, Senator Jim DeMint of the Convention of Faith Project.
Apparently, you don't have to join the damn show either.
Yes, and another special surprise, Top of Hour 3, Bill O'Reilly comes
up. Oh! So it's Friday?
Yeah, it's not Friday. No, This is a special treat. I don't know if it's going to be a regular thing, but I think
You know what I think it is? I think that Bill was just so he was lonely.
He was lonely. 2 weeks without radio kind of will do it for you.
It will. Well, and 2 weeks without talking to Glenn,
it will do it for you.
Yeah. It really, absolutely. And you know how it is when.
Well, you always want to talk to Woke Beck. You know, Woke Beck is the best Beck to talk.
Yeah.
And he's woke today.
He's woke today.
Yeah. What is he wearing?
On the program, what is he wearing?
Yeah.
A smooth looking smile.
Yeah.
I'm still scared. I think there's a surprise at the end of the day.
Tomorrow on the program, we got Chef Patrick. I think we're gonna talk some good food. I want to see if we can get him to talk about burgers.
Okay.
So,
The Morning Blaze.
Morning Blaze
is
a Chris Cruz production.
Maybe.
Good night, Steve Cannon.
I think so.
Wherever you are.
On Young now. You go home.
I think we did it, guys.
You did it right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We did it. We made him proud.
It's just not the same.
It's not.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.